We want to talk more about this and about local politics in general as we continue our conversations looking back on 2016. So we're joined in studio right now by Peter Ubertasio. He's Associate Professor of Political Science at Stonehill College. Welcome back to the program, Peter, and I hope I didn't say your name wrong.
Thanks for having me.
First, your reaction to this vote today by Massachusetts lawmakers delaying some parts of the new law allowing for recreational marijuana use.
Sure. I think Katie Lannon laid it out perfectly, and Senator Lewis defended it in a very, I think, straightforward way. The legislature is in informal session right now. There's not a lot you can do about that. And to do it now meant that it wouldn't even further delay the opening of retail marijuana shops. And we're talking about 6 months, not, you know, say 6 years or even 12 months. So I don't think one reason you would raise something like this in informal session is because you have to, given timeline, but also because it's probably, as Katie pointed out, very non-controversial among legislators and local officials who I'm sure are giving their legislators an earful.
Right, right. But we've seen what happened with medical marijuana. And certainly that's been delayed over and over and over again. So I think some folks have already raised the question, well, what does this mean and how could this also, could those similar delays, are we seeing a repeat of that with recreational marijuana?
Sure, and that's entirely possible as well. So mm-hmm. I think in order to put together a responsible regulatory regime for marijuana, another 6 months is probably not asking a lot, and it's probably not beyond the bounds of realistically what you would need to do. But we do know that there will, during that extra time, there will probably continue to be a push to delay even further. So I think that's something that proponents of this initiative will need to be quite vigilant with.
Well, let's move on to politics more broadly. Big news this year, as we're looking back in politics in the year of 2016. The big news, of course, presidential election and how Donald Trump's election played out here in Massachusetts. Let's start with Governor Charlie Baker. He refused to cast a ballot for president in this election. What do you think that has done to his popularity? Anything?
Not really. I don't think it's hurt him at all. I think Republican governors in Massachusetts in particular are in a very good place when they can occupy a middle ground between what's going on with their national party, which is unpopular in this state, and the left, you know, the Democrats here in Massachusetts. So I think it might hurt him at the margins among Republican primary voters. Donald Trump did really well here in the Massachusetts presidential primary. I'm not sure that's going to translate to much in terms of a movement to deny Charlie Baker nomination by Republicans. There may be more folks on the right who are willing to come out against him as a result of that, but I don't think enough that it will hurt him. It might sting a little bit, but nothing to deny him renomination.
You know, we spoke with Kristen Hughes, head of the Republican Party in Massachusetts, on our show after the election, and she voted for Trump, and she said this about the state of Massachusetts Republicans. Let's listen.
I think you can be a supporter of Trump, of the president, and also be a supporter of a more moderate stream of Republicanism that we represent really here in Massachusetts.
Peter, your take on that, on the state of Republicans in Massachusetts. And you know, they are more moderate, certainly, than a lot of Republicans that we see nationally.
They are. They appeal, folks like Charlie Baker appeal to a lot of Democrats and a lot of independent voters. The core of the Republican Party here has a sufficient number of moderates, but it does have some very far-right members of their party who are Trump supporters. I hazard to say conservative because I don't think that Trump is really quite conservative, a bit radical. I think that needle is going to be difficult to thread, trying to maintain support both for the president and for a Republican figure like Charlie Baker. I think that she is right, that a lot of folks are going to be able to do that with no problem. But I think as things unfold in Washington, that may become more and more untenable.
Let's move on to some of the notable moments for Governor Baker in 2016. Governing Magazine reported that his approval ratings have consistently been in the 70% range. How is he doing at the end of 2016, particularly after the failures of those two big ballot questions? Baker opposed recreational marijuana use, question four, and he also opposed question two, which was the expansion of charter schools. He put a lot of political capital, particularly into question two, the charter school question. And now that the voters have contradicted him on both of those questions, what do you think that does? Anyone?
It hurts. I think that it demonstrates that there are limits and that while folks may like you, they're not always willing to listen to you. The marijuana initiative was a pox on everyone's house. All major policymakers in the state came out against it, and voters turned a deaf ear to their pleas. Mm. Charter school is a little bit different because Baker really put his political popularity on the line, and voters were not having it. I'm not sure that ultimately hurts his popularity. I think that there's still generally a lot of support for charter schools in Massachusetts. It really was a question, I think, of financing moving forward and budgeting properly for them. There were plenty of folks who are in favor of charter schools who also opposed the initiative because they'd like to see the funding mechanism worked out. So I'm not sure that it hurts. I think it really just demonstrates that there are appropriately limits to what a leader can get the people to do. I think he goes into 2017 retaining a lot of popularity.
Let's talk about Attorney General Maura Healey. She's been in the news quite a bit this year, and she's made some big moves this year. First on gun legislation. In July, Healey cracked down on the sale of so-called copycat assault weapons, redefining certain kinds of guns as prohibited assault weapons in Massachusetts. And we spoke with her here on Radio Boston in July just after that, and she joined us from the Democratic National Convention. Let's listen.
I viewed it as my obligation, frankly, after Orlando, to take a look at what was happening with respect to our own state assault weapons ban. And so we wanted to be clear and take action and issue this directive, putting gun dealers and manufacturers on notice that our office is going to enforce the law so that we have the full protection of the law here in this state, at least.
Peter, I'm wondering what you think of that move on the part of Attorney General Healey. How do you think that affects things, you know, for her here and nationally?
I think it helps her politically here. I think in the aftermath of all the shootings, and if there's one thing we know about American cultures, there will be more of these. We're always looking for political leaders to do something. Here you have a political leader who did something, even though those tragedies have not recently struck in Massachusetts. And so I think that, you know, trying to find a way to respect the Second Amendment rights, which are in the Constitution, the federal Constitution, but also adhering to your state laws and going after copycat guns is probably politically a positive for her, both within the state and I think within National Democratic Party circles.
What do you think about her political star, though, Maura Healey's? Does she have aspirations beyond Attorney General, it would seem, and what might those be?
Sure. I think that have aspirations all of the time. And so I think the Attorney General probably does have aspirations beyond the AG's office. Certainly, she's discussed often as a possible gubernatorial candidate. Mm-hmm. It's all about timing. It's very hard to unseat an incumbent governor, and an incumbent governor has not been denied reelection in a general election contest since 1974. So it's not easily done. Attorneys general in Massachusetts always aspire to something else, and they almost always come up short.
Right?
So there are lots of reasons for that, and some of them are specific to the individual races. But she retains a lot of star power in Democratic Party circles here in Massachusetts, and I think whether it is a future congressional run, you know, at some point there will be some Senate seats open, and we expect members of Congress will run for those, and there'll be congressional seats open. So she's young, she's popular, and she's got, I think, quite a significant future in Democratic Party politics. She should stay in the Attorney General's office for quite some time, that would be my guess, until she thinks the time is right to maybe look at the governor's race or a Senate race or a congressional race.
Hmm. Let's talk about Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. Two members of his administration were charged with trying to force a Boston Music Festival to hire union workers. How do you think this has affected Marty Walsh?
You know, it's such an interesting indictment because they're not accused of doing anything to personally enrich themselves. So it's an unusual case of that the U.S. attorney has made against these two officials. I'm not sure it has hurt Marty Walsh. I think he's a generally very well-liked mayor. I think a lot of the deep divisions that occurred in Boston politics decades ago They haven't evaporated. They're still there, but they're just so less pronounced than they used to be. And he's well regarded among his base in the neighborhoods, among the business community, in the high tech community. I think these indictments hurt because it's just knowing that your aides have been indicted and it hasn't happened in a long time in Boston. I think that that hurts, but I'm not sure that it's inflicted any serious damage in terms of his reelection attempt.
All right. Peter Ubertasio, Associate Professor of Political Science at Stonehill College. He's been helping us remember the past year in local politics. Peter, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.